When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Coming up at 9:35, we've got the cookie jar on a Friday.
Oh, that's right.
It's the Christmas-themed cookie jar for the third week in a row. We've got more movies and music to F, marry, and kill, and some classic Christmas debates for everybody to weigh in on. One of the debates you were asking, Stoney, is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And that is, what is the average fan? Our listeners, 248-539-9797, 1 o'clock tomorrow. You have the Chiefs, and I can't believe Mahomes is playing, but whatever.
He's a cyborg.
Kansas City playing Houston, and at the same time, Penn State's playing SMU in the college football playoff. And then at 4, approximately, Ravens Steelers going up against Texas Clemson. They're all at the same time. So if you could only watch one, what are you watching?
Yeah.
Or if you can't, you know, what are you paying more attention to?
I was going to say, because with technology now, I mean, you could put your tablet or your
right.
second screen, phone, whatever you got to do.
Right.
But something's got to be on the biggest screen. Something's got to have your biggest, you know, the most attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate that they're both the same day. Some people like the overload and it's great.
No, it's not great.
I want college football to have its space to like happen in the moment, and then you marinate in it and you talk about it, and then college separates from the NFL. I'm more interested in the playoff because it's elimination, win or go home.
Mm-hmm.
And those are good NFL games, so it's not a slight
right,
to the NFL.
Right, I wouldn't, you know, even ask the question if it was, you know, Jags-Titans or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the two good NFL games and two, obviously, as you said, elimination games in the first ever 12-team playoff. Game one tonight, by the way, Notre Dame hosting Indiana. And I've been looking online, and it's snowing in South Bend. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's not going to I think it'll affect Indiana adversely more than it'll affect Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's up, they'll pound the ball, and their offensive line is so good.
And the quarterback's more mobile, and they use him in the run game. And mm-hmm. if it does turn into like one of those snow
right.
games,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to get the picturesque scene we all dreamed of
yes.
when they launched this.
Yes.
A northern team in the snow at night.
But it's against another northern team.
I know. So. I really wish it was someone from the south coming up to play in this.
Right. I know. And Happy Valley is going to be cold, but it's I don't think it's going to be snowy.
Okay. I understand. The TV has to make their own decisions based on eyeballs. Wouldn't it be much better if Penn State got their whiteout game at night instead of playing at noon on Saturday?
Oh, absolutely.
And then it would be a team from the South, SMU,
yes.
coming in to play at night.
No doubt. Absolutely. But to me, I'm going to watch definitely the Penn State-SMU game. Steelers-Ravens always intrigues me because it's a hated rivalry.
Yeah.
But I still think I'll pay more attention to Texas and Clemson, if I have to, but that game really doesn't do much for
double
me.
Double digit spread, but we've known.
I know.
Yeah, you know, you even mentioned it in the picks. Dabo, Ben here, Sark, tense up. Texas, is there a temptation to change quarterbacks if
right.
the game's close?
Right. To me, especially in this area where we are a college football hotbed,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine most people are going to be watching the college. 248-539-9797. I'm just curious what you're going to spend more of your time watching. Because there are people that are, you know, NFL guys number one, And especially this is a fantasy football playoffs and things like that, that might change things.
Well, so I agree with your sentiment that we're a college football hotbed. We are one of the few major cities in America that cares about college football. New York, they don't care about college football. No. L.A., don't care about college football.
Philly, there's a lot of Penn State fans, but not so.
Philly,
not
Boston, Chicago's got some Big Ten influence, but Detroit is one of the few major cities in America that cares about college football.
Right.
But Stoney, a thing had happened this season where neither of our teams were competitive, and our football team's been so good that I do think it's nudged people even more
towards the NFL.
To your point, there are some Big Ten teams at least playing this weekend that may have people's attention.
Correct.
So we will canvass you guys, 248-539-9797. In addition to all the Lions stuff we've been talking about, we'll keep taking phone calls and ticket texts there. The game itself with the Bears, I wanted to present something to you, Stoney, because this game... Listen, they're all going to be important for Detroit, and how they look, I think, is going to maybe settle some people down or freak some people out. I think one of the keys to this game is the fact that Chicago has struggled mightily in the first half of games. Right? Baldinger brought it up.
Right.
I want to put a stat on it for you. You love stats.
Yes.
So the Chicago Bears have been outscored in the first half 53-0 since Thanksgiving morning.
In the first half?
53-0 since Thanksgiving Day. Since their last victory in London on October 13th. Yeah, it's been that long since they won a football game. The average halftime score has been opponents 15, Bears 4. If Detroit can get up, it plays into their strengths. Running the football, forcing Caleb to take a few chances, put the ball in harm's way, allow this defense to pin their ears back a little bit. I think that's a huge part of this game this week.
But if it's close going into the half... Chicago does play better in the second half. They have the last few weeks. They haven't won the games, as we saw here, but they were certainly better in those games.
And you think it's going to be close?
I think it's going to be somewhat close, or at least a backdoor cover for the Bears.
Yeah, well, within 6 points, you think it's going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder how people will react if this game is tight. Or maybe they'll take the Dan Campbell approach. 1 point win doesn't matter.
That's my approach. I don't care.
I'm really not going to.
You know, at the end of the year, you count how many W's you have, and they all count the same.
Because a win isn't going to like plant the flag that their Super Bowl chances got.
No.
So just win.
It might give you some more reason to fear or whatever, be concerned about if, let's say it's a slugfest. Let's say, the Bears offense scores 38 points and the Lions win 41-38. Okay. Yeah, I might have a problem with the Chicago Bears scoring 38 points on you going forward.
In a weird way, and I'm not... Is this a game where they have very little to gain and a lot to lose?
Well, if you take the deal, but seriously, no, I'm going to change my mind on that. No, because they do have a lot to lose. They got tons of
a lot to lose and very little to gain.
Oh, no. Yes, because if they don't win, the gain is the win. So it's.
But that win itself is significant because you got to keep pace with Philly and Minnesota. But it doesn't like reinforce a belief that you're winning the Super Bowl or anything like that.
It doesn't
silence any doubt that it doesn't anyway.
Right. The all win for the Lions is to win the game, hopefully look decent doing it so people build confidence if you care about that at all from a fan base. And obviously the obvious is no more injuries.
There's like one win maybe that would kind of like if they won this way that would bother me. It's the Texans win. If there was a game that played out like that,
wow.
I would start having some concerns.
Goff throwing a lot of interceptions.
Him doing that outside, I get a little weird. I'm pretty much though. I'd take it anyway this week because I just think they got to get going and get the urgency going. I mean, this is the final push now, and I think that talking about being in the tournament already. Now you got the one goal is still there. And so to me, if you won 17-13 or something like that, if you got some things to work on, fine, so be it. But who cares? Winning on the road is hard in this league still. It's a division rival. Like the principles I've grown up with in the NFL say that this game should be relatively close, except the Bears have been so horrendous lately.
Yeah, but the Bears' weakness, especially, as Baldinger pointed out, their offensive line, the Lions have not had much of a pass rush lately. If they can't get to Williams against this offensive line, Yeah, then there might be a red flag waved.
To Baldy's point, Bears are a different team than the last time, just like Detroit.
I mean, right.
Different coach at this point.
Right.
Detroit could have put that game away much earlier on Thanksgiving Day. The offense needed to finish more of those drives.
Oh, yes.
There's an added emphasis on the offense. I think the fact that they haven't run the ball well the last couple weeks, I'll channel some John Jansen. He believes this offensive line's going to come out and rip people's faces off.
I hope so.
And he would know. He cited, hey, I've been in that spot where we've underachieved up front, and we know, hey, we got to step up. This team, specifically up front, one of the best in football. Mm-hmm. The offensive line on the road in, it's not going to be terrible weather, but cold weather outdoors. If this offensive line jumps them early, mm-hmm, and finishes in the red zone early and puts the Bears on their heels, this is a team that's already talking about vacations. You know what I'm saying? Three
yes.
weeks to go. They've got a star receiver already talking about, I'm thinking about vacations. Yeah, put them mentally in Cabo before the halftime. I mean, I think that very much is on the table for the Lions here.
Just hopefully his vacation won't be going up against Vildor.
You know, you mentioned the weather's not going to be a humongous deal, but the field will probably be somewhat slightly frozen, or it could be slick with the way the temperatures are.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams has never really played in something like this on natural grass, right? So his escapability might not be as good.
When they played,
are the Bears all in? Like, are they preparing? Let's have our best cleats on and all that stuff. You know, seriously, little things like that.
When he was at USC and he played at Notre Dame one last year. I don't even know what they probably play early in the season. So
they usually play
an ugly game though.
Yeah,
yeah. Like his performance was ugly.
Right.
I mean, the Bears have lost how many games in a row now? I mean,
I think it's nine, isn't it?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row.
8 in a row.
It'd be 9 this week. What is their level of resistance here? They're pros. They'll show up. They want to win as opposed to losing.
But
that's the baseline. Like, I don't think you're getting like an inspired Chicago Bears team, right?
You would think not. But,
and you're getting an inspired Lions team. And even if they're undermanned, inspired against a team that's lost 8 in a row should be enough to get it done on the road.
Which game's their Super Bowl? Is it this one or is it the one against Green Bay? The last game of the season, right?
They think Green Bay's a bigger rival to them.
Yes, I understand that. But they could do more damage to the Lions than they can to the Packers, probably. Because the Packers are going to be in the playoffs. Maybe a seed might change, but they're not going to win the division.
It feels kind of like the Packers are locked into that 6, right?
Yeah.
Because Minnesota or Detroit will be the 5, Green Bay will be the 6, and then the last spot is likely the Commanders.
Correct.
Not a lot of drama in terms of the bottom of the NFC playoff bracket.
No.
Plenty at the top.
Because of that NFC North.
Best division.
Philadelphia Eagles.
We got some texts coming in. Want to respond to Stoney's question about your interest this weekend, college football or the NFL on Saturday. Which one has more of your focus? We'll get to Cookie Jar bottom of the hour. It's 97.1.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Questions about Christmas coming up at 9:35 with the cookie jar. Jim Costa with Stoney. I got Heather.
Will it be a gingerbread cookie jar?
Stoney, it just might be.
Oh.
Gov and Greg behind the glass, and we got your phone calls and ticket text, 248-539-9797. Stoney, with a very simple question, a priorities question.
Yeah. If you can only watch one, you watching college or NFL tomorrow. You got the playoffs, you got Penn State, SMU, and the Chiefs, Texans at around 1 o'clock, and you got Texas, Clemson, and Steelers, Ravens going up. Against each other around 4:30.
Some of the responses. I'm watching playoff football over regular season NFL any day. I guess the Ravens really need a win, but it's not the same thing.
I agree with you.
The finality of it, like the storyline of it all.
Right. But I wonder if you can only watch one, we understand technology, and you had major fantasy football implications, what would you be doing, Jim?
Well, I mean, I do. I have teams still alive. But the week's not over on Saturday. Okay. Like, you pick up the pieces and watch most of the games on Sunday, and if you got something Monday night. So I still would pick college. I mean, I answered college. That's my answer. I want to see the storyline that is James Franklin in a big spot again. Mm-hmm. SMU, they get in the playoff. Can they be a Cinderella story? Same thing with Dabo and Clemson, right?
Yeah.
They're only here because they won their conference, right? Right?
Oh, yeah.
But Texas has some concerns as well. Quinn Ewers hasn't played well.
I know.
And Sarkisian has had a tendency to tense up in big games. I don't know. The storylines are there. I mean, hell, even tonight. I think tonight's good. The other two games are actually the bigger two games, the two night games.
Yes.
Tonight with Indiana and Notre Dame. That's going to be great theater. Snowflakes falling. South Bend, touchdown Jesus in the background. Kirk Cignetti, the quote machine, Canadian quarterback. We don't care if it's a foot and a half of snow. That's awesome. And then Ohio State, which may be overrun with Volunteers fans. And they all might be pulling for Tennessee by the end of that game because Ohio State fans are going to be just a mess if they can't win this football game. There's great college football games to watch this weekend. And that's not a knock against the NFL games, but what are the stakes of Texans-Chiefs? Seeding?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Well, yeah, one seed for the Chiefs.
Yeah, but they have a cushion, don't they? They only have the one loss.
Right.
Buffalo has three losses.
Right.
So there's what are the stakes there? And Baltimore and Pittsburgh, there are, to his point about, hey, Baltimore could use the win and they're fighting for the division crown. But it's seeding. It's seeding at the end of the day, as opposed to win and go home in college football. Another ticket texter says, since the NFL games are AFC only, I'll watch primarily college.
Okay. That's interesting.
And then those teams turn around and play on Christmas Day.
Which is a whole different ball of wax. I mean, I think it's almost sacrilegious. I mean, NBA does it. Well, that's a tradition, whatever. I don't know.
Why can't this be a tradition? Why can't we start a tradition?
NFL on Christmas?
Yeah.
Because you don't want NFL games on Wednesday.
Well, it's not always going to be Wednesday. No, Christmas moves.
No, I understand that, but especially this year. I don't want if Christmas is on a Tuesday. Do you want them playing Tuesday? No, I don't.
Around the holiday, a lot of people got time off. Days of the week blur together for people. I'm not sure it's that big a deal whether it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It's going to be a day that people have off, and they can sit down and watch big NFL games, as long as they make it good matchups.
Yes, the problem is you usually don't know when the schedule comes out.
I know, but this year it is. I mean,
yes,
right?
Pittsburgh,
Kansas City, Baltimore, Houston. Again, anyway. One more ticket text says, I've had Dominic the Donkey stuck in my head since yesterday. Scott in a car.
That sucks. I mean, it's a bad song to have stuck in your head all day.
Would you F, marry, or kill Dominic the Donkey?
Oh, you know.
You're going to kill that donkey. You love animals.
I'm going to stop myself right now.
Yes, thank you,
Stoney. The alternative is...
Yes, exactly.
Not very good.
Thank you. All right, here we go. Police are investigating a St. Clair Shores substitute teacher who has been put on leave for allegedly sending sexually explicit text messages to a student. Man, this sub was escorted out of Lakeshore High School on Wednesday after being accused of sending these messages over social media to a female student. A report was obviously immediately filed with the police and also with the staffing agency as well. A student was saying that while she wasn't targeted by this substitute, she did see the messages. There's been screenshots. They're circulating all over the school. Parents, of course, are upset that this is happening. And they just they want this sub fired immediately. Yep. Should never be allowed to work again. And I saw this story and then I thought of not. I thought of you, Stoney.
Oh, don't say
no,
that.
But no, of subbing. Have you been subbing?
I've done it 3 times.
How'd it go?
It went fine. I mean, I haven't had to do. Here's the thing about substitute teaching. For the most part, it's glorified babysitting.
Mm-hmm. It is. So in high school, you've been?
I did middle school math.
Ooh, wow.
You know what I had to do? I had to give out papers, basically, and your teacher wants them in by tomorrow.
Were they well-behaved?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. That was they told me, just make sure they stay in their seats and all that kind of stuff. And I would do this whole thing. I'd introduce myself, and somebody, yeah, my dad listens to you, whatever.
Aww.
But I said, for the most of them, I said, you might know me more from being at the high school football games.
Oh, yeah.
So I did my little touchdown Lakers, and some of the kids did videos. And then the next time I did it, it was like a literature class.
Okay.
But it was with another teacher. It was 2 classes. So she took over.
I sat there
for 3 hours because it was half day.
And just then like Cindy, let her do it.
Yeah. Well, I have nothing
she's
to do.
She's got under control.
Yes. And last Friday, it was a phys ed. I just sat there and watched kids play basketball. I would shoot hoops with them.
So you haven't had to deal with any, you know, behavioral issues yet?
No, thank God.
Oh, that's great. No. Oh, good for you. I'm glad it's going well so far.
I wish I should be doing more of it, but the half days are great.
Yeah, for sure.
You still got your mid-range moves, Tony?
Not like I did. No. He knows. I could shoot from
Stoney
the outside.
Stoney, solid basketball player.
I was. From the outside. Mm-hmm. Physical, no.
I don't know how, because you couldn't look at the rim.
That's exactly why. I confused the defender. I looked the other way.
No look shot.
That's right.
You're like Mahomes.
Stoney is like Mahomes.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
No wonder my daughter likes Mahomes so much because he's just like her dad.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. A man was hit by a semi-truck outside of an Amazon facility in Detroit while on the picket line Tuesday morning, which is crazy. When you hear this story, you think, oh my gosh, is he okay? He is okay. He mm-hmm. wasn't hit that hard. He didn't even fall to the ground, but he still was hit. Teamsters were picketing in the driveway at the Amazon Fulfillment Center when this semi-truck driver hit one of the workers. Like I said, thankfully, he was not seriously injured, but paramedics did come to the scene. They checked the guy out, said, you know what? He's going to be okay. And of course, the picketing is all part of the big strike against Amazon, where Amazon employees are fighting for, obviously, higher wages, better benefits, and safer work conditions. The NFL is calling on Congress to address the ongoing threat of drones at games. Obviously, attention over the issue has really grown in recent weeks, right? With all these unexplained drone sightings that have been popping up across the East Coast. Well, in a statement, the NFL's senior vice president of security called on Congress to take action. And she said, over the past several years, an increasing number of drones have flown in restricted airspace during NFL games. With the nation's attention now focused on drones, we again call on Congress to protect critical infrastructure and mass gatherings such as major sporting events. And the league also added that these incidents of these drones over NFL games jumped from a dozen in 2017 to more than 2,800 in 2023.
I was at that Green Day concert that got paused because of the
drones. Oh, that's right.
Where they sprinted off the stage and what's going on?
I remember that. Scary stuff.
I didn't realize this was going on in NFL games.
Yeah. Let's see. 2 Detroit restaurants have dishes that are deemed the best in the U.S., which is pretty darn cool. On Wednesday, the New York Times released 26 of the best dishes we ate across the U.S. in 2024. It's their list, and 2 Detroit restaurants were on it.
One of them I'm definitely going to.
Mike's Famous Ham Place, I'm guessing, is the one you want to go to.
Yep.
It was their stacked ham sandwich on poppy seed and a poppy seed roll served over a slice of ham on top of the roll.
Yeah.
That made the list.
That sounds awesome.
I didn't even know about this place. It's a teeny little.
I know.
I mean, when I Googled it, it's in Detroit.
Yep. So like Southwest
it's
Detroit.
Really
I've never
neat.
Heard of it before.
No.
But, yeah.
And then Layla. Their dessert, a sundae made with rose-flavored ice cream sprinkled with pistachios. Doesn't sound that appealing to me.
Me neither.
But apparently it's delish. So check it out. And here's my news I wanted to get for you, Stoney.
Uh-oh.
Nothing that like major, but it just reminded me of you when I saw this. We have officially won the war against murder hornets. They're gone.
Oh!
Yeah. I don't know if that even exists anymore, but they're gone. So officials announced this week that they've been eradicated in the U.S. And it was back in 2019 that they first kind of showed up in Washington State. And then people were freaking out everywhere about these murder hornets. And now they're gone.
God, we can all live peacefully now that the murder hornets are gone.
Sleep better at night.
I was hoping Greg could find the drop. But
murder hornets.
Yeah. I can't even remember exactly how you said it, but...
It was somewhat funny, probably.
It was.
Yeah.
If I recall.
Greg.
Mortar hornets?
Yeah. Mortar hornets.
That's it.
Yes.
That is it.
The extermination of murder hornets.
Yes.
Beautiful.
One last story. We referenced it earlier. John Keating,
yes.
Retiring at the end of the Red
John
Wing
Keating,
season.
John Keating, what a great guy and a good wordsmith. And he's been a staple of, I'm not sure he started with Pass, but definitely Fox Sports Detroit, Bally's, and now... FanDuel. So, yes, April and the D will not be the same without John Keating.
No, it will not. He said it came down to this. There haven't been enough sunsets with the family in Grand Haven on Lake Michigan.
He used to send on Twitter and things great sunset pictures, too.
So we wish him well. All right, coming up next, the cookie jar. It's 97.1.
Hey, are you still searching for the perfect holiday gift for friends and family? Well, give the gift of unforgettable experiences with the YMCA. Y gift certificates are available at all 7 Metro Detroit locations, and they can be used for individual and family memberships, for personal training sessions, swim lessons, access to wellness centers, youth sports, and even overnight and day summer camps. This holiday season, choose the timeless gift of fun, fitness, and community at the Y. Visit YMCADetroit.org or stop by any Metro Detroit YMCA location to share the joy of health and connection.
All right, we've got Christmas-themed questions, holiday-themed questions on the cookie jar this week. The first, did Santa wrap your gifts as a kid? What does he do in your house today? This is in here because Heather.
Mm-hmm. But this is interesting, and I always thought Santa did the same thing at everybody's home, but I did discover when I was a kid that Santa did different things at everybody's house. When I was little, Santa never wrapped his presents. So when I was a kid and I'd wake up super early, right, excited to go open gifts, I'd always walk down the hall and like peek into the living room where the tree was, and you could see some of the things Santa dropped off, and then I'd run and go wake up my parents, and then I'd run back out to the living room and start playing with the gifts that I received. Then when I got a little bit bigger, I was hanging out with a friend and went over to his house after Christmas, and I discovered that Santa wrapped all his gifts, and I was surprised by that. That why wouldn't Santa wrap my gifts, but he'd wrap your gifts?
Never heard of Santa not wrapping gifts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what Santa does. I mean, part of his job
is wrapping the gifts.
Well,
his
elves do it, but
yeah. He's in a hurry when stops at your house.
When I was a kid, even being Jewish, we got Christmas gifts. I think like 2 years.
Okay.
And the gifts were wrapped. I assumed Santa did it. We didn't have a tree, but in one of our in a table in the living room, and we. Come down, and I remember the only gift I really remember, Christmas gift, was a big tube that was a puzzle, and it was like a toy soldier puzzle.
Cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Santa did wrap presents and leave them in the stocking. We just had the stocking stuffers.
Okay.
That's what he'd do. Mostly we just do the gift exchange on Christmas Eve, but right now, all he does really is just leave off some chocolate, maybe some fruit. That's like a tangerine, you know.
He just stops by and drops off food?
Yeah, you know, some snackies.
That's different.
Interesting.
Tangerine, wow. If Santa ate like that normally, he wouldn't be so fat.
Yeah.
Our gifts were not wrapped. They were on display. So, like, when I got the Star Wars AT-AT Walker, and I came down the stairs that or that Christmas morning, and it's just sitting there ready to be played with.
It's just like this beacon of light, right? You just look down, it's like, oh, there's your like your new bike or whatever it is.
Okay, I can't inject my, because I didn't go.
You didn't do Christmas.
That. I didn't have that experience.
Yeah.
But to me, if you, as a kid, you go downstairs and you have your tree, and there's no, the presents are unwrapped under the tree. That's kind of weird.
The parents would put, Santa would put them together in your house, on like the race car track. You come down and it's ready to go.
Right.
There's no agonizing about putting the stuff together. And,
but isn't that
And there
of
was
the
still
thrill,
wrapped just, gifts from mom and dad under the tree. From my parents, there was still gifts. Like, this is from mom and dad, and that you'd open. But like, yeah, the whatever it was, the big toy, the Barbie house was all built.
Yes.
And ready to go.
As for now, Hermie leaves with Santa. No. The elf on the shelf.
Uh-huh.
Bigger day for you, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
This is such a hard question because both days are so monumental. I think I'm going to choose Christmas Eve. It's a little different now that I have kids because Christmas Day is becoming more exciting with Santa and things like that. But ultimately, Christmas Eve to me is, you can't beat it. You've got all your family together, a huge party, a big celebration. It's always been my favorite.
Well, for me,
which day of Hanukkah?
Well, first of all, to me, it's Christmas Day is so much better because there's things to do. Christmas Eve, there's like the one day in the world where there's no sports, right? There's no games.
So to me, what am I going to do?
For me, Christmas, at least I can watch things, you know?
NBA and now NFL.
Yes, absolutely.
Stoney, all I'm going to say is that, like, we all have reasons, and that's fine, and that can be your reason. For me, it's Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is the holiday, honestly. It's the meal. It's the family get-together, the meal, the pierogi, the cream of mushroom soup, the oplatki, the krustiki, all of the good Polish stuff that we eat on Christmas Eve. That's the day. And then we do our main family gift exchange one at a time, which was last week's topic after that. But we got to do the dishes first.
We got to clean the dishes first.
Yeah, we got to clean the dishes, the nice china, got to clean the dishes. And then that's what we earn the gift giving.
Really building the anticipation. Yeah, I would say as a kid, Christmas morning was when we got the bulk of our gifts and you look forward to waking up Christmas morning. But I would say now as an adult, Christmas Eve is the primary get together where you see the aunts and the uncles and the grandparents and everybody's together. So for me, it's Christmas Eve. All right, this next one. We've done some hypotheticals today. Everybody wants a white Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the trade-off. 2 weeks of heavy snow on both sides of Christmas Day to get a white Christmas, or you get no white Christmas and no snow in December. What do you take?
I'm taking no snow. No white Christmas.
I say, this is easy for me. Bring on the snow. Let's go. I'm ready for it.
Look, if I don't have to drive in it, I'm fine with snow. So that sounds like I'm good with the... It's snowing day before, day after?
No, 2 weeks before.
Oh, the 2 weeks before?
So the whole month is going to be heavy snow.
Heavy, which means there's going to be driving problems.
I got to drive in that, man.
Snowman.
No. So you say no white Christmas?
No white Christmas. I'm with Greg.
Tom, you're going to want the white Christmas, right?
Without a doubt, because I got winter in me. I mean, I'm a hockey kid, okay? So if it's cold and it's snowy, the ponds are froze, and we can go out and have a skate, just like you have a catch, and you can go sledding with your new sled that you got on Christmas.
Yes.
All this stuff's lost now because of global warming.
Tom getting all political on the show.
I know.
We still have the holiday even if it doesn't snow. Doug, you got me that one time, and my mom got mad at him for doing that.
I want the white Christmas. Bring on the snow. We're in Michigan. We can handle it. Okay, this next one, Heather, you have to explain it. You put this in the cookie jar. Who goes down in history at the end of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Well, everybody knows the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer song, right? And there's additives like a light bulb, like a flashlight, like Monopoly.
Pinocchio.
Yeah.
It's Rudolph.
No, it's not.
Do you know what she's
Rudolph.
Asking?
Yeah.
So like when you sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, there's the little things that people add in. So there's one that gets added at the very end.
Yes.
You'll go down
not
in
history. Right. Like George Washington.
Yes.
Oh.
Like George Washington.
I don't remember that part of the song. I just remember the...
What's the things people have like colloquially?
So we've been singing this a lot at the house because Emily loves this song, and I happened to Google what the words were, And I was surprised that it wasn't George Washington in the lyrics.
What do they say?
I think it said Nixon.
I saw on the internet that apparently is a really popular ending.
And I remember when Jamie was here, we were singing it, and his response was different than George Washington, too, and my mind was blown.
I went
George
looked,
Washington.
I went and looked at the lyrics, and I just, you know, reinforced my statement that it was Rudolph. There was no some other reindeer or something that I forgot about. And it just says Rudolph. There was nothing that said adding.
Yes, the actual last line of the song is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah.
You'll go down in history.
Like George Washington. Washington. Okay.
Rudolph, by the way, the ultimate next man up.
Yes. All right, let's hit these rapid fire. F, Mary, Kill, Songs Edition and Movies Edition. Oh. We'll start with songs. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, and The Little Saint Nick.
Okay, I'll go first. It all depends on who's singing these songs, because I just listened to the Christmas song by, I don't know, Mariah Carey or somebody else, and I didn't love it. It's got to be, why can't I think of
Nat King Cole?
Yes, it's got to be Nat King Cole. I'm going to marry the Christmas song. I'm going to kill The Little Saint Nick, and I guess I'll F Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is Coming to
Town. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
I did read that is a fantasy that some women have. Is a Santa Claus fantasy?
No.
Yeah.
There's a category?
There's a category for everything.
Yeah, I guess. I'm marrying Santa Claus is Coming to Town because it's a great song, even when Bruce doesn't do it. I'm going to kill the Chestnuts, and I'm going to F the Beach Boys.
Little Saint Nick. All right. I'm going to marry Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Jackson 5 edition.
Okay.
Love that version. F the Christmas song and kill the Little Saint Nick. With movies, we've got Bad Santa, The Santa Claus, Tim Allen, and The Polar Express.
I'm going to kill The Polar Express. I'm going to F the Santa Claus, and I'm going to marry Bad Santa because I love Bad Santa.
I like all of these movies, but I would probably also kill the Polar Express, get rid of that. I think I'll marry the Santa Claus, and then I'll F Bad Santa.
As John established last week, the bad boys.
Yes.
I'll kill Bad Santa, marry the Santa Claus, F the Polar Express. And that is this week's Cookie Jar. It's 97.1. Ticket text coming in on the Cookie Jar. Some of your takeaways. Wrapping up the show on a Friday. Lions in Chicago this weekend. By the way, did you see what Ben Johnson said about his coaching future?
Yeah, he's ready for it.
Yeah, I know there's this belief like he's got a good thing going here, but you know he did say that there's a burning desire to find out what he's made of and push his limits and see what he's got. He said there's a fire there. He says, I don't know when that would be, but there's a fire there. So anybody who thinks, oh, he's just comfortable being an offensive coordinator.
But it has to be the right opportunity. He's not just going to take
a
head coaching job just to take a head coaching job.
Correct. Is there a job that's open right now that makes sense for him? How about the job opposite?
The Bears?
Yeah.
That front office scares me. I mean, he's got things in place. I think he can do wonders with Caleb. He's got good receivers. He's, you know, DeAndre Swift's good, but he'd need to probably get another running back. Rashawn Johnson's not bad. They have a decent defense. They just fell apart, so he can handle that. I don't see him in New York with the Jets. If Rodgers doesn't come back, is he that much better than Daboll? Probably. I think I think the Giants need to get rid of everything there.
Yeah. Well, not the Jets because of the stuff you read yesterday.
How about Woody Johnson?
Yeah, no chance. Yeah. He doesn't want to go to a dysfunctional organization.
Right.
And with the Bears, you could argue, are they a dysfunctional organization?
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean with their front office. Yeah.
And the Giants.
The Giants is not dysfunctional. It's just been bad, basically, with Joe Shane. I think they might just get rid of Shane and Daboll.
Start over.
Maybe a job that maybe people don't think might open, but could, if they get a clue down there. It's Tennessee. You want to talk about a clean slate, fresh start, no expectations, can do what you want. I think they would, if in this scenario, So Bud Adams used to be their owner. Now the daughter's the owner. Mm-hmm. And it's been a train wreck. They have. They have completely like lost their minds. And that's similar a little bit to how the Lions were way back where ownership wasn't dialed in and didn't. There could be a clean slate is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe he gets hired before the new GM. I don't think Ryan Carthon knows what he's doing. I mean, who gives Tony Pollard that kind of money? Who thinks you can, you know, you go one draft Willis, next draft Levis.
I know.
And neither are your guy. I mean, it's just a complete and utter mess. I don't know if they'll move on because it's year one.
Yep.
And probably more likely than not, ownership is stubborn and took a long time for things to change here.
The other
but they could try to copycat the Lions. It's the copycat league.
Right. The other interesting thing is, depending how their last three games go, I don't know if it makes any difference, but what Cincinnati decides to do. If Cincinnati decides to move on from their coach, from Taylor, I mean, here you go. You bring Ben Johnson in with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but you want to talk about a cheap owner. I mean, they don't invest in the facilities. They don't invest in their own talent.
That's
true. Have they extended Chase and Higgins yet? Am I, I mean, they have to pick and lose some of that. The reality is the jobs that open up typically aren't
great
jobs.
What about New Orleans, or is that going to be Aaron Glenn?
Maybe it's Aaron Glenn, but that is a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are they working with?
I don't know.
Maybe he looks at Carr and says, I can resurrect him the way I did Jared Goff.
Yeah, I know it's chatter.
Winnable division.
But I've seen some, you know, on some of these, the talk shows, whether you take stock in, you know, Get Up and all that stuff, that the Bears might be willing to trade some draft capital to San Francisco for Kyle Shanahan, and maybe that marriage is over, and if that happens, Ben Johnson to San Francisco. I don't know.
Yeah, but they're staring down the barrel of the Brock Purdy gun. Like, they got to make a decision on him. And
I wouldn't give him more than what Baker Mayfield's making. That's for damn sure.
See how that changed in a year?
Yeah. That's what injuries will do, too.
Yeah, you're right about that. I know the Bears would love Ben Johnson.
Of course, you would think.
Because they want an offensive guy to try to fix Caleb Williams. If you're going to draft a guy number one overall and brag about how good the support is around him, well, you actually have to support him.
And it hurts your rival.
Yep. Yeah, they would love to pull Ben Johnson from Detroit.
What do you think Jacksonville's going to do?
Well, they haven't fired the coach yet, but doesn't it kind of feel like they have to?
You would think so. Can Ben Johnson turn around Trevor Lawrence? He's got a great receiver there in Brian Thomas Jr.
Mm-hmm.
What about this one? There's a lot of years. There's always a firing we don't see coming.
Yeah.
And maybe you see this one slightly. But what if the Eagles implode? Some people still think that could happen. And Sirianni. Yeah. His record's phenomenal. But, you know, the Chargers back in the day got rid of Schottenheimer after he had a 14-2
year? Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just never know. Think about appealing that might be, because you know you got a good GM.
Oh, he's terrific. And he's got a very supportive owner, a crazy fan base. He's got good receivers.
And isn't this the third year, next year will be a third year of Hurts' contract? So the people who are kind of,
no, he
sure
signed, he signed, it was before it was before 2023 that he signed the big deal.
Right, so 23, 24, 25. I thought it was just a four-year deal that he had done.
I don't remember exactly, but yeah, he would be intriguing in Philly, no doubt about it. I still Dallas, I think they're bringing McCarthy back.
What a joke. They are such a joke of a franchise.
The problem is, well, not problem, but you never know with Jerry, but they are, they certainly, when you thought they were just going to pack it in, they've been playing pretty decent football.
Yeah, kind of to spite their future.
I know.
You lose Dak, you're not making the playoffs. Yeah, let's just torpedo our draft position and then keep the coach.
I know, but it's not, what are you going to do, just sit out guys?
No,
I mean,
they're going with
Mr. Fire Up Chip at their quarterback. And,
and Cooper Rush is
doing a good job, yeah.
My point, though, is as a Cowboys fan, these wins are not helping me.
Granted,
we've done that radio before. But,
yeah.
But for Dallas, I mentioned dysfunction. Nobody else has their owner as the general manager.
No.
And when your owner calls the offseason all in, and then you don't spend the cap space you have on Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. and then you say, well, we didn't have the money later. Like, Jerry, among many other things, how can this be an all-in season, but the coach stays and you miss the playoffs?